The word that comes to mind whenever I think of Christmas, the first word is Hosanna. And so I was telling my wife this. I said, what do you think about the word Hosanna? She said, yeah, that's a good idea whenever we're kind of hashing out this series. And it's interesting because the more I look into this word Hosanna is actually during the time when Jesus was making his grand entry into Jerusalem. So he's past the age of a young child. He's past the baby Jesus stage, and he's as a triumphant king. I said, so Lord, you still want me to preach this message about Hosanna whenever we're not talking about baby Jesus anymore, but we're talking about King Jesus? And he said, yes, I want you to preach this message about Hosanna. And so how many guys have kids in this place today? All right, we got a few. So you guys know what it's like. You go through these stages where they're trying to pronounce words, and they don't always get it correctly. In fact, mine are Filipino, and so sometimes pronunciation of words is a little bit tricky. And so like the word Chevrolet, it's sometimes pronounced Chevrolet. Or sometimes the word thrift store is pronounced I can't even say it the way they say it. Thrift store, okay. And then probably one of my favorite, we were driving on Grand Cayo one day, and they were naming the different places, like Burger King and the Shack, whatever it's called. And then they come up to this one sign, and it said, The Aquarius. I'm like, The Aquarius? What are you talking about? The Aquarius. And then I look, and sure enough, it's the daiquiri shop. I'm like, oh, I got it. Okay, The Aquarius. The Aquarius it is. And so what they did is they took the sounds that they knew and they applied it to the letters that they seen, and they put it together and said, oh, the Aquarius. And so this is not a message about alcohol, so this is not, we're talking about the risen king this morning. But anyway, in a similar way, when we look at the word Hosanna, interesting. And so my kids, what they did, they took the sounds that they knew and they put it towards the letters they recognized and they made a sound. Whereas in the whenever they were writing the New Testament, it was written in Greek. They took the way it sounded in Hebrew, Hosanna, and they wrote the Greek letters to kind of mimic that sound, which it came out Hosanna. And so whenever you look at that, the Greek word, even though it was written, the New Testament was written in Greek, it can actually be traced all the way back to the Hebrew language. And so whenever sometimes you're looking up words in the Bible, they don't always look the same as the English word. They don't always sound the same. But whenever you look up Hosanna, it's pretty close. Actually, the pronunciation in Greek is Hosanna. That's the best I can do. I'm sorry, I don't speak Greek, but that's the best shot I got. And so anyway, it means a cry for help. It's oh, save. Oh, save. And we see an example of this in Psalms 118. It says, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray. Give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. So it became a cry that says, oh, save. Now, how many guys have ever experienced someone drowning before? And they're crying out from the top of their lungs, oh, save! Oh, save me! Help me! I am drowning! Maybe you heard this story before, but when, a while back, we took a group of teenagers on the river, and we went tubing. And yeah, someone's laughing already. I didn't know what this is all about. And so... What began to happen is, before, as we were traveling, we said, okay, look, we're going to be in the river, so we want to know how well can you swim, all right? And so on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, hey, I'm a great swimmer, 1 being like, hey, give me a life jacket. And so we went through the whole entire list, and, this one particular kid's like, oh, yeah, I'm a 10, and so we're like, okay, great, he's a 10, he can swim, he's awesome, I ain't got to worry about him, let me watch some of these other kids who are ones, and so, anyway, we get to this point in the river where they had this really cool swing. You climb this cliff, and you swing down into the river, and you just jump, and, I mean, it's amazing, right? Well, the first couple of times, it was fine. It was great. But then after a while, your body starts being, you know, get tired, really, because you have to swim all the way back to the land and climb all the way up the cliff and swing down the rope and jump in the water and climb up the cliff. And so you do this a couple of times, your body gets really tired. So anyway, this young man who was a 10, was a swimmer, excellent swimmer, by his standards and by every standard you can imagine, he was a 10. And so anyway, Tara and I, we're on the bank because, you know, we're a little bit older, more mature. We just put mature. Yeah, that'll work. So we're on the bank just watching them all, and then all of a sudden we hear, help, help, help. I was like, and we look, and we're like, oh, that's so-and-so. He's fine. He's a 10, right? Remember? And so we're just like, oh, he's just playing around because he's a clown. He's always clowned around. And so we didn't know the guy was, like, really drowning. But he kept going, help, help. And he just kept, you see his little head bobbing, and Tara and I look at each other. I think he might be drowning. And she's like, he might be drowning. And like, I think I better go save him. And she's like, you better go save him. And so I grabbed my tube, my inner tube, and I swam out to him. And sure enough, the kid was drowning. And so we pulled him into this inner tube, and we make it back safely to the land. And he was just like so excited, you know, that he is rescued and that he is saved by yours truly. Thank you. But anyway, the idea was the fact that he needed a Savior and that he was crying out for help. And so it is whenever we understand this concept, we can truly understand the word Hosanna. It's a cry out for help. It's, you are my Savior. And so back in the Hebrew, when it was originally written, this is what it meant. It was a plea, it was a cry, help me, save me, I'm drowning. I'm in desperate need. I'm not playing. I'm really drowning. I'm not pretending. I'm really in a deep mess. I need some help. I need a Savior. So we look at our main story today in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 1 through 11. And it says this. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of a burden. And so this is, whenever we look at this particular passage, and we see in verse 5 where it says, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt. So this is actually a prophecy that was written in Zechariah, which was about over 500 years prior to this event. So a prophecy is something that is is God-inspired by the Lord for a time that is to come. And so this was written approximately in 518 B.C., and that means about 518 years before Christ came. And so this prophecy includes is directed, first of all, is directed to the daughters of Zion. Now, who was Zion? Zion was the holy hill. It was Jerusalem. And so, therefore, the daughters of Zion always refer to the people of Jerusalem, God's chosen people, God's special possession. And so this word, this prophecy was for them. It was directed towards them. And so what was interesting in Jewish culture, you know, to be a daughter meant that your father had total rights over you. In other words, if you mess with the daughter, you mess with the father. The daughter was property of the father in Jewish culture, okay? And so, but what that also means, when you think about the kingdom of God, when you think about how they were daughters of Christ, or of God, it means that they had his protection. It means that they experienced his goodwill. It means that they experienced his favor, that they were protected, that he was a strong, dependable fortress in the time of trouble. This prophecy says that your king is coming. And then it also begins to describe how the king was to come. He was to come humbly on a donkey. Now, a donkey, as you know, is probably the most stubborn animal there is. You know, it didn't say, hey, look, he's coming and he's going to be riding a stallion like this, or he's going to be riding a Corvette. You know, it's interesting, you know, the timing of this. You know, he could have waited until like this day and age when the Lord would come and he'd be riding in a Corvette and he'd be riding in a Rolls Royce. Can you say the word? But he came in a time in which donkeys were the transportation for the common people. And instead of coming in grandeur and splendor, he chose the beast that was, you know, that was the most stubborn animal that could possibly be. And so he humbled himself in the way that he came. He didn't come, you know, as they were expecting their Messiah to come. And so we see Zechariah, he's telling this. He says, hey, look, your king is coming and he's going to be riding on a donkey. Now, whenever Zechariah wrote this, it was after the time of the exile. In other words, they were given permission to go back and rebuild the temple. If you don't know what happened, the temple got destroyed. The Babylonians came because, you know, they were sinful. They were sinful people, and God allowed the Babylonians to come and invade them and carry them away to Babylon. In the process, the temple got burned and everything got destroyed. And so this was the time after the Babylonian exile, when Zechariah is given permission to go back, and they're given permission to rebuild the temple. And so up to this point in time, they had not had a stable king. They had not had a stable ruler over them. It's been quite some time. In fact, you know, if you're familiar with the children of Israel and the nation of Israel, it started as one nation whenever David was king. And then whenever Solomon became king, the kingdom divided into two different parts. You had the northern part, which was Israel. You had the southern part, which was Judah. And Judah hadn't experienced a good, godly king to the man named Josiah, which was probably about 100 years before the prophet Zechariah wrote this. And then you think about Israel, they hadn't experienced a good king really since David, before the kingdom split. And so whenever Zechariah is saying, hey, look, there's coming a king. You guys are going to have a king again. You're going to be ruled by a king, and he's going to be coming on a donkey. They would have been anticipating that moment and just couldn't wait to the fact that their king would come, because they had no king. Remember, they were captive under the Babylonians. And so they were in this really distraught state. But this promise of a king was coming. This promise of a king who was going to rule in righteousness, and that he was going to come humbly, not upon a white horse, but he was going to come upon a donkey. This is what they began to wait for, the anticipation. And so thus the word Hosanna began to take effect. Oh, save us. Oh, save us. We have no king. Our nation's destroyed. Our temples destroyed. Everything we know is destroyed. Oh, save us. Oh, save us. Hosanna. Hosanna. I'm trying to say it in my best Hebrew tongue as I possibly can muster up, but I'm struggling very hard. So anyway, in verse 6, it says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. So this is after Jesus had told them, hey, go get a donkey. So now we're back in the New Testament. In verse 7, it says, they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. So what began to happen, the word Hosanna in the Hebrew began to change in meaning. It was no longer a plea of, oh, save us, oh, we need you, but then it became a declaration, it became a praise. Our king is here. Our king is here. Look at Jesus. He is here. The promised one is here. He is right in front of us. This prophecy that Zechariah had spoken is being fulfilled right in our very midst. Hosanna to the highest. Salvation is here. Jesus is here. So this word began to shift in meaning. And so it was no longer a plea of, oh, save, it was more like, hey, the lifeguard is here. And so whenever the lifeguard is here, then you begin to praise. Yes, I'm going to be rescued. I am going to be delivered. I am no longer bound by my sin. I am no longer afflicted. I am rescued. And so was this young man who I rescued from the rivers. He was so delighted that he had a raft to pull upon. Salvation was here. Salvation was a very present thing. So that is the significance of this word, Hosanna, where in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it was a plea, but then as the New Testament come along and Jesus enters Jerusalem, it became a praise. He is here, salvation is here. And so the one thing that they said is, Hosanna to the Son of David. What is that about? Well, if we go back to some of the promises that God spoke to David, he says this in 2 Samuel 7:16. He says, "In your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Now, forever is a long time. And forever can only be established through the Messiah, through Jesus Christ. And so whenever God spoke this promise to David, and through his lineage, he was foreseeing Jesus coming. He was foreseeing the Messiah coming. He says, I'm going to establish my kingdom through you, and he's going to reign forever and ever. So what does that mean for us in 2019? And why are we not talking about Jesus, the baby, and we're talking about Jesus, the king? Because ultimately, Jesus came to rule and reign in our hearts. He came to be king of our lives. And if he is king over our lives, that means that we are not. If he is king, if he's come to establish his kingdom in our lives and in our hearts, that means he calls the shots. That means that he is Lord of all. That means that we surrender and we submit ourselves and we lay down our lives and our ambitions and everything that we are so that he can be glorified. You know what they did whenever they entered Jerusalem? As Jesus began to enter Jerusalem, they began to take their cloaks off. Now, their cloaks in the Jewish culture, it would change as their life would change, as your occupation would change, as your marital status would change, it was a representation of your identity. And so they begin to take that cloak and lay it down on the road so that the donkeys can pass on. And they lay their clothes on the horse, on the mule, on the donkey, so that Jesus can ride upon it. And the thing about this is whenever we lay down our lives, those things that are so dear to us, it gives Christ an opportunity to ride upon it so he can be the most glorified in our lives. We lay down our ambitions. We lay down everything that makes us. We lay down our cloaks and we say, you are king over my life. You are the one exalted. Hosanna, salvation is here. It's no longer a plea. And perhaps whenever we were in the world, whenever we were lost in our sins, it was a plea. I remember it being a plea for me in April of 4th, 1997. It was a plea, save me, O Lord. Save me. I am a wretched sinner. Save me. Come into my life. But after that word, Hosanna, became a praise. You are a very present help in time of trouble. You have rescued me. You have delivered me from my sins. You have set me free. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna to the Lord of Lords. I lay down my cloak so that you can be glorified in my life. They lay down the branches as well. And so what the branches represent is effort. It represents work. It represents your abilities. And so as you're working, as you're cutting those branches, your efforts, your abilities, you take those things and you lay that down. Why? So that Christ can be exalted in your life. Let us not miss the reason of Christmas is so that Christ can be king in your heart today. Amen. So that Christ can be king in your family. So that Christ can be king on your job, at your school, wherever it is that you find yourself among people, that Christ would be exalted in your life. If he is king, then we are not. So as we go into this Christmas season, as we think about this word, Hosanna, let's think about both meanings. Let's think about the fact that we were once sinners, and our plea was, Hosanna, save me. But then as we are of Christ, as we have given our hearts to the Lord, our plea becomes it becomes more of a praise, Hosanna, you are my salvation. Now, the beautiful thing about this as a believer, it's still a plea. Because we're still pleading that he will come, and that he said that he will come back just as he came before. He might have came his first entry riding on a donkey, but the second entry that he's coming, he's going to be riding a white horse. And he's going to have fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. He's coming back for a bride who has made herself ready. He is coming back. So at the same time while we say, Hosanna, the Lord is here, we also say, Hosanna, I believe that one day we're going to see you face to face. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. We remember both sides of the story. And we find that scripture in Revelations 19:11, and it says, Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. And on his head are many diadems, which is crowns. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the word of God. One day we will say Hosanna, and we will say it without any restraints. We will say it face to face. We will say it, and we will lay down our crowns. We will lay down our everything that we've, all the, the Bible says that we're laying up treasures for ourselves as we serve the Lord, as we fulfill his work, that we will lay all those things down at his feet, and we will just cry, Hosanna, salvation is here right in front of me. Thank you, Lord. And so this Christmas season, as we go about, you know, it can be so tempting just to get involved in all the gifts and in all the secular part of Christmas. But let us not forget what Christmas is all about. Let us not forget what this season is about. It's about Christ coming to us. It's about Christ coming to establish his kingdom in our lives. It's about us surrendering to his lordship. It's about us laying down our cloaks, laying down everything that makes us us, and worshiping our King and saying, You are our King. Hosanna to the King. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. And we sing it now because we have experienced him in a great way. But one day we will sing face to face. We will sing the word Hosanna. And so I invite you all to stand to your feet. And we're just going to close out with this song, with this word, this song that says, that talks about Hosanna. And I want you to begin to lift up the greatest Hosanna that you possibly can as we sing this, that you remember the where he pulled you from. It was a plea, but then you remember what he's done for you right now, that he is a very present help in time of trouble, that he is right here, right now, and that we can sing Hosanna to our King. We love you, Lord. Would you just lift your hands this morning as we worship the Lord, and we're going to sing one more time.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna.
clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all I said. The people sing. The people. Generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we pray and see. We're on our knees. We're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. Heal my heart and heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things I see. Hosanna. 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 Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
just turn all of our affection, our activity, God, everything. God, we just lay them down at the foot of Jesus. God, just like they did with their cloaks. God, just like they cut the branches and waved Hosanna. God, we thank you that you have saved us. And today, God, that you are our Savior. And God, we look forward to you coming back. And I pray that these words of these songs, God, that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours. And God, as we walk out of the doors today, God, that we'd be reminded that you are coming back. And this time, not on a donkey, Lord God, but on a white horse. And God, that you have called us to go therefore and to preach the gospel, Lord God, until we see you again. And so, Lord, let the word of our mouth this week just be Hosanna. Can you just say Hosanna? Hosanna. God, we just lift up your name, and God, we thank you that you are coming again. And God, I pray that we would work faithfully unto our King. And God, that we give you all of our identity and all of our activity in this week. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Go and go with his name on your lips. Go and sing of his praises. We'll see you right here at 2:00 in Jesus' name. The thrift store is open right after service. So make sure you go and look at that. In Jesus' name, we'll see you at 2:00. If you're interested in going to El Salvador, come talk to me. We need a couple more people to go on that trip with us. We love you, and we'll see you Wednesday and Sunday and all those great things.